Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Well, I tell you what, the word of the day has to be wow. Because I tell you what, that's what I felt. That's what I said, my exact words, after I tuned into ESPN at about 12:30 yesterday and saw how the college football playoff turned out, especially with Ohio State as the 4 seed. It's what everyone is talking about. Michigan State will be playing in the Cotton Bowl against Baylor. We'll talk about that. A lot of college football discussion on today's show, folks. We'll also talk a little bit about the Lions as they top the Buccaneers, making a stronger and stronger case for solidifying a spot in the playoffs. And how about the run that MSU soccer had, folks, huh? The MSU men's soccer team, I was actually out there on Saturday as they couldn't make their Final Four dreams come true, but what a season to say the least. We'll chat about that and also bring to you weekend winners, all of that and so much more. But hey, it's Custom here on Current Sports. Let's start things off and start the week off with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Well, folks, it was a wild waiting game in college football over the weekend as many teams awaited the fate of bowl games in the college football playoff. But in the end, the Big Ten got its rep back in college football as Ohio State claimed the final spot in the college football playoff rankings at number 4. Alabama, number 1. Oregon, number 2. And undefeated Florida State rounded out number 3. Now, MSU was slated to play in the Orange Bowl against Georgia Tech. That's what everybody had predicted. But they got bumped up to the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas, where they will take on the snub Baylor team who just missed the playoff. They were the number 5 spot. Now, the game will be played on New Year's Day with a 12:30 p.m. kickoff. Of course, the Cotton Bowl, one of the New Year's 6 bowl games. How about that? All right. The MSU men's basketball team went back to their winning ways over the weekend as they cruised over Arkansas Pine Bluff. 85-52, the final. Junior center Matt Costello was a major highlight, scoring a career-high 15 points off the bench in the first half. MSU had 18 assists on 19 baskets. That's called sharing, folks. That is called sharing, which is unusual, though, because MSU hasn't done that this far this season. Now, Travis Trice added 15 points. Brandon Dawson and Brent Forbes each added 12, and Marvin Clark Jr. added 10. MSU will host Oakland at the Breslin Center on December 14th. All right, as MSU received reinforcement over the weekend, Michigan basketball received embarrassment as they dropped a game to the unrecognized, get this, New Jersey Institute of Technology, folks. All right, now Michigan Caris LeVert, he dropped 32 points. 32, Michigan shot 42% from the field. The IT Highlanders went 11 for 17 from the three-point land, shooting over 60% from the field. One of their better players, Terrence Smith, he wasn't even playing in the game. The Wolverines try to bounce back on Tuesday as they host EMU. That's right, Eastern Michigan, a team right down the road. All right, the MSU women's basketball team traveled to Athens, Georgia over the weekend to take on the Georgia Bulldogs, but came out in the losing end in a very close game, 69-60, the final of that one. Now, MSU trimmed the lead to 5 in the final minutes because of Torrey Jankowski's baskets, but still fell up short as Georgia made all their end-of-game free throws and fired back. Now, Jankowski finished with 16 points, while Ariel Powers capped off with 18 points and 9 boards. All right, I just mentioned the MSU soccer team. Of course, they were knocked out of the NCAA tourney. Could have made their Final Four dreams come true, but they were beat in that Elite Eight matchup by number 11 Providence, 3-2 on Saturday. They close out the season 12-5-6 following a hard-fought match against the Friars. Now, with Providence ranked at number 10 in the final in NCAA standings, this marks the only loss to a ranked opponent for the Spartans in 2014 as they trailed a record of 2-1-5 against top 25 teams ranked in the coaches' poll. So MSU soccer out of the tourney, and there's another MSU team out of the tourney, that being the MSU women's volleyball team. Yes, their season came to an end on Saturday as they dropped their final game out west to number 1 seed and host Stanford in 4 sets. It was close the whole game. MSU, a bubble team coming in fighting to continue the tournament, they lost 20-25, 25-22, 26-24, and 23-25. Now, Rachel Mynarik finished with 52 assists, only three shy of her career best. Senior Corey Meister had 13 digs, while Taylor Galloway had a double-double, 13 digs and 11 kills. All right, the Lions topping the Buccaneers. Matthew Stafford threw for 311 yards and three touchdowns as the Lions kept the pressure in the NFC North race with a 34-17 victory over the Buccaneers on Sunday. Detroit has won in a two in a row by the same score now. They beat Chicago on Thanksgiving, and they end this three-game stretch of home games next weekend against Minnesota. Also, Pistons lose to the Thunder, 12 straight losses, and the Detroit Red Wings won its third straight with a 3-1 win over the Carolina Hurricanes on the road. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners for this December 8th, folks. Whoa, boy, we got a lot to talk about on today's show. It's going to be a full hour of discussion with a lot of thoughts and a lot of opinions and a lot of puzzlement. I tell you that, folks. Folks, we're going to open up our phone lines right now. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that took place this weekend in sports, anything on your sports noggin, any thoughts you have, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. If you don't happen to be by a phone but still want to weigh in on the conversation, I will read your comments if you leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, again, later on in the show, we'll talk about the weekend that was for MSU sports, specifically the MSU men's soccer team, as they fall to Providence in an Elite Eight matchup. They fell just short of making a Final Four trip, folks. Again, it's back-to-back appearances for this team in the Elite Eight matchup. It was an interesting game, a very entertaining game down at DeMartin Stadium. I was out there to cover it, folks. Very good game, to say the least, and a very good season for Damon Rensing and his squad. So we'll talk about the soccer team. We'll be bringing you our weekend winners. We'll talk about a little MSU men's basketball and a little bit of Michigan basketball as well. How about the New Jersey Institute of Technology? How about that? A huge win for them over the weekend, a big upset over Michigan. We'll get to all of that jazz and so much more, but of course, we have to start the show by talking about what took place at approximately 12:30 afternoon yesterday, right before I was getting ready for all of the NFL action. Many of you out there were doing the same. Tuned to whatever radio show, whatever television show, whatever, it might have been your smartphone or iPad, just trying to see who the top four teams would be as the final results were released by the College Football Playoff Committee. Interesting stuff, folks, because as you know now, those top teams that round out the top four happen to be Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, and a team that I had pronounced dead before this season even started. A team that I went on a huge rant about last month, not even fathoming how in the world they could even be in the college football playoff conversation. A team who was on my short list, or I should say last list of teams that possibly could make the playoff into about week 7 of this year's college football season. But they somehow, some way, finish in the top four, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Wow. That is all I could say when I first read it, when I first seen it glare across my screen, my jaw was on the floor, and I immediately just kind of, I had to take a step back and say, wow, I can't believe that happened. Alex Sharg now joins me on the show. Alex, what was your reaction first? We'll start with just our initial reactions upon hearing these top four. What was your initial reaction, my man, when you saw that Ohio State had made it?
Yeah, how are you? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, man. Happy Monday.
So I was tuning in following on Saturday night. I was sitting at home, wasn't feeling too good. Here at Michigan State right now, listeners, it is finals week for the students. I'm still in school somehow, and I'm still, you know, dreading these finals. I'm still studying hard.
Right.
So I was sitting. I was feeling a little queasy. I wasn't feeling great. So I sat at home, watched the games, watched the championship games, watched the Kansas State-Baylor game, watched Baylor roll on that, watched Ohio State womp on Wisconsin. Immediately following the Ohio State game to Wisconsin when they womped on them, I turn on ESPN. You got Kirk Herbstreit there giving his prediction on how Ohio State deservingly is going to be there. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's because you went there to Ohio State. That's
hold
the
on,
reason.
Hold on. Kirk was trying to make an argument
Kirk
for Ohio State.
Kirk was making the argument that comfortably Ohio State should be in there. And when I'm looking at the standings, I see TCU at 3, and I'm thinking to myself, there is no way a team can jump from 3 to 5 or 6 after winning their game. After winning their game, you lose 3 spots. So I'm thinking to myself, okay. And I couldn't believe. I'm going to get this caller, and I'll come right back.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, we'll put your thoughts on pause really quick, Alex, as you go to our phone lines. But yeah, I mean, when you look at it, there's a few questions that I have when looking at how Ohio State was able to get that 4 spot. For me, when you look at it, I have to say this, though, because at the end of the day, after letting it soak in and after just kind of just thinking about the entire college football playoff in general, I'm happy for the, because I had some mixed emotions about this thing. First off, I am happy that Ohio State did get in because it adds some rep, it adds some clout, and it adds some representation for the Big Ten here. And it's very interesting because if you look at Michigan State's schedule, I mean, you know, they're one of the only teams that can say that their only losses for the year came by 2 of the 4 top teams in college football, that being, of course, Oregon and Ohio State. But Ohio State, for me, when you look at it, there's a few question marks because how much does this body of work really mean when evaluating a team's validity in making the college football playoff? Because I said when Ohio State lost to Virginia Tech near the beginning of the year, I just didn't fathom.
You jumped off the ship.
Yeah, I couldn't see how Ohio State, no matter what they did from that point out in the rest of their season, how they could even make a strong case against other teams like a Baylor, like a TCU, like a Mississippi State. I just couldn't see how they could make a case in them being a legitimate contender for the 4-team playoff. And then you look at how they struggled against Penn State. I mean, they had to pull out a rabbit out the hat for them to beat Penn State as well. But I will say this, Ohio State is a team that consistently got better week by week by week. And there's I think the key word in this whole thing, Alex, for me, when looking at how Ohio State got in, the key word is the eye test, Alex. Now, for those of you who watch the coverage and have been following the college football playoff ranking by ranking, week by week by week, the eye test is basically looking at in the moment, that how that team is playing and just how fluid and good they look right now. It's not taking into account what happened last week or the week before that. It's taking a look at what is happening in the present moment. I tell you what, Alex, the way this Ohio State team is playing, I mean, for goodness sake, just look at the week they had. JT Barrett breaks his ankle last week. They have to bring in now their third-string quarterback to play in the biggest game of the season for him in the Big Ten Championship. Cardale Jones comes in and plays a beautiful game. Not to mention, earlier that week, they had to deal with what no other team in the nation had to deal with, and that had to be burying a teammate burying a teammate, folks, that weighs on you emotionally. I mean, this is an Ohio State team that had to battle through a lot of adversity, and then looking at how they beat Wisconsin. Alex, they didn't just beat Wisconsin. They laid the smackdown on Wisconsin. It was not even close. A complete blowout. And at some point, you have to start looking at Ohio State's coaching staff and really giving them all of the credit in the world for how they've gotten their players ready in the midst of all everything they've gone through this year, how they've gotten them focused, and the type of system they run. Hats off to Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is an unbelievable coach who I think this Ohio State team, they will compete and compete hard against Alabama. That is going to be a good game. But you know what, Alex? There's another layer to this whole thing for me. There's another layer to the onion when looking at Ohio State getting in. And that has to be with, of course, money. Moolah. Money runs the world, Alex. And you can't tell me, when looking at this, when putting Ohio State in, when you're putting in another conference in this whole discussion here, you got the SEC, Big Ten, so on and so forth, the more conferences you have represented, the more money that will bring to college football. And now you look at the game. Just looking at the Ohio State game against Alabama, I mean, you got two of the more prolific coaches in college football going at it against each other. You got Nick Saban versus Urban Meyer. The ratings for that game are going to be through the roof. It's going to be I cannot wait the next day after that game to look at read the newspaper and see, or that Monday, see how the ratings were for that game, because they are going to be off the charts, Alex. This is all about money. And you better believe that the College Football Playoff Committee and college football in general was thinking about that aspect to things too. More conferences, more money, more marquee matchups, more big names, more moolah. That also had a little bit to do with this as well, I think.
Yeah, I see you on the big name aspect, but when you think about it, the Big 12 has a considerable network of viewers just alone in the state of Texas. So to snub out TCU and Baylor, most of football America is from that southern region, a.k.a. Texas, Al. So as much as Ohio State adds another conference, I do think adding TCU or Baylor would still add a good audience. But
Not like Ohio State,
simply because of the old Urban Meyer and Nick Saban matchups when Meyer was the coach at Florida. So I hear you on that. They want to see Urban in his new place. There was some debate whether his new team in Ohio State would be as good. Everyone's going to be watching on the big stage to see, will Urban Meyer's new setting still contribute like he ran the world against Alabama when he was at Florida? But I also feel, Al, if Ohio State gets whomped on, which I think is a big possibility.
You do?
I do.
With the way Ohio State is playing, it goes back to the eye test for me right now. Ohio State these past few weeks have been so impressive. And looking at how they've gotten their wins, I think they can compete with anybody in the nation, and it'll be a good game. They have a very good chance at beating Alabama.
Yeah, they do. But I also want to highlight that as much as they whomped on Wisconsin, Ohio State could be looked at as a champion in that, or you could look at it as that Wisconsin played awful. If you watch that game, Al, they missed every block. They were fumbling the ball. They committed turnovers. It was not the same Wisconsin team that you saw throughout the last eight games of the year. But it all comes down to it. What team is the best at the end of the season? And like you said, at the end of the year, the way Ohio State won that game, that victory put them over the edge.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Another comment I have to make about the playoff real quick before we get to our caller Tom on line one, as I'm sure you'll cue him up, Al, in a second. But the other thing you got to look at it is that if TCU wasn't ranked number 3 and they were ranked number 4, which I think they should have been compared to Florida State to begin with, I don't think any of this would be in any conversation with arguments here.
For me, it's
the fact that a team dropped from number 3 to all the way down out of the top 4.
And they did nothing to hurt themselves.
Right.
That's the thing here. I question this system, and it's going to be we knew there was going to be a lot of question marks about this system.
That's right.
A ton of question marks, because it is not a perfect system. And looking at how TCU, how far they dropped, you sit there and say, okay, what did TCU do to hurt their cause and to get them out of that position. They did nothing. There was nothing they did.
The only thing that they did do is they didn't win with the style points.
Right. It was more so of what Ohio State did, more so than what TCU
did. They still won, what, 55-3?
Oh, yeah. They whomped on them. Whomped on Iowa. Was it Iowa State, I believe.
But
yeah.
Again, and, is that as good as a team as Wisconsin? Big Ten championship?
Right. Exactly. There's factors that weigh into that. And then you look, and then we haven't even got to, and we're going to get to Michigan State in a minute. And then you look at a team like Mississippi State, jumping Michigan State. They moved up three spots and did not even have a game this past
weekend.
It's
almost as if the Big Ten Conference was praising the college football committee, and they kind of, it's kind of like a little kid asking mom for candy and you put the smile on. That's kind of what the Big Ten did to the playoff committee.
And they did nothing to earn it. It's not like they made their bed or something like that, or they picked or did some chores around the house. They did nothing this past weekend, but they got rewarded. So as a Big Ten fan, you're not complaining. But with this system, you question what is really going through the heads of the committee when ranking these teams. What are they really looking at? Because I tell you what, when it comes to overall body of work, that, for me, when looking at it, does not hold as much weight as I thought it did, Alex. It does not at all. How a team looks at the end of the season, means a lot more than what a team did, I guess, at the beginning of the year. Oh, boy, a lot of question marks here. And let's get to our caller right now. Again, folks, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything we talk about on today, what do you think of the college football playoff? Do you agree with the top four teams? And what do you think about MSU's bid to play in the Cotton Bowl? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We do have Tom on line one. Tom, how you doing? And welcome to Current Sports.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, good. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good. My comments are hats off to Ohio State. I'm not an Ohio State fan, but they put a beat down on Wisconsin that was certainly memorable. And the question I have is more on not the individual teams, but the whole way the thing is set up. You have some unknown guys making decisions affecting, you know, 10 to 20 colleges across the country, and I look at that whole thing as suspect. You touched on how some teams can jump up and some teams can jump down with no real reason behind it. Mm-hmm. I think there is a reason behind it, and usually that reason has dollar signs attached to it. I don't like the whole ambiguity part of it. Have the Big Ten winner play the Pac-10 winner in the Rose Bowl, have the other championships play each other in some bowl game and go from there. The whole leaving it up in the air for individual group of people to decide that we don't know who they are, who they're suspect to be influenced by. I think that's the part that impacts the credibility of the whole situation, and that needs to be addressed. So those are my comments. Thanks for hearing me out.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate your call. Yeah, and you know, when Tom brings that up, I think when moving to this system this year, Alex, I think what college football and the whole spectrum of college football wanted to do was to take away or to bring, I should say, bring to the table the human element when it comes to ranking teams. Again, how does a team look at the end of the year? Can this team compete in the four-team playoff? And, you know, it's not based off of just completely X and O's, complete wins or losses, complete statistics. It's not based on that, which is what the previous system was based on. You have a group of people looking at the entire spectrum of what is taking place in college football and weighing in what criteria bodes as well as a team being ranked high or low. And it's interesting because, again, when in any system, I think the key word for me, Alex, is in any system, I just want to see some consistency in the way you judge and rank teams. For me, throughout most of this year, more so when it came to those final, you know, that final three and four spot, there was really no consistency, and especially now looking at Ohio State getting in, there was really no consistency as far as their criteria that they judged upon when it came to teams, whether it be body of work, whether it be quality wins, whether it be any of that. And you question which one of those criteria, if they're basing it off that those things, which one of those criteria are more important which one of those criteria gives a team an edge over another team, you know? Because right now you can make a legit I can only imagine how the campus of Texas Christian or Baylor is feeling right now. Because these are two teams that were constantly in the talk to be at the end of the day in the big dance. And, you know, I would argue, I remember talking to you, and I remember a few weeks back, you know, how I had a kind of an issue, you know, with Baylor winning the head-to-head matchup against TCU, and they had the same record, and TCU was still ranked ahead of Baylor. I just didn't understand that. So, in that regard, they got it right as far as, my opinion, I think Baylor being number five, they did get that right with them being ranked over TCU. But as far as TCU dropping that low and them doing nothing to hurt themselves over the weekend, I don't understand that.
To me, yeah, and it's almost as if the college football committee was like, okay, thanks Ohio State for saving us on this. We know we messed up a little earlier on. Let's bump them back up below Baylor like they should be. It's almost as if the college football committee needed the Ohio State team to win so that they could actually get the rankings. I'm convinced that at the end of last week, that college football committee, after hearing the rants from Baylor and the actual wins and loses and who beats who, they probably weren't feeling good about it at the end of the day. That almost enhances the credibility of this system to move to a deeper playoff the next year. Maybe you do it to eight teams. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to. I think you have to expand this. This is one of those things. Four teams isn't enough. Because one thing, I feel bad, to say the least, that teams that play in their respective conference championship games, I mean, what exactly are they playing for? They're just basically playing for a conference championship, and they have no legitimate shot at possibly playing in that playoff. It's conference championships don't mean anything.
Yeah, it's almost now that the Big 12 needs a championship.
Right.
They need a championship at this point. It's almost as if they're hurting their conference. You're telling me that if TCU played Baylor in a championship game, I think one of those two teams probably would have gotten the edge just because of the body of work and the fact, like you said, Al, that Ohio State – I mean, take it out the window for a second that TCU and Baylor – that Baylor beat TCU and they didn't have a championship game.
Yeah.
That's the only thing holding them back.
Exactly. And then when you compare – the strength of schedule between Ohio State and a TCU and Baylor, let's be honest here. Baylor and TCU had tougher schedules this year. Completely. That's without question. Without question. And still, Ohio State gets in.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm confused. I have a headache.
So many intangibles. Yeah.
I have a headache.
The intangibles that go into this.
Oh.
And the fact that Ohio State stopped the Heisman candidate. That's an intangible.
Yeah.
The fact that Melvin Gordon was a Heisman candidate going into the Big Ten championship game. No one stopped them the whole year.
Right. And that's very impressive. It is very – the way they shut down Melvin Gordon. What do you have, like 70-something yards? 79 yards, I think. Completely shut him down. I tell you what, nonetheless, Ohio State, again, I think the reason they got in, one, money, two, how they looked at the end of the year. Because I really think this Ohio State team can compete with anybody. We have John on line two. John, how you doing, John? You are on Current Sports.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. I'm going to throw something out here.
Yeah.
And you guys, I'll take it offline so you guys can give me your opinions. I smell nothing more as far as the top four, even though I don't know how they quite got to it. I like the top four. But, like, for example, Michigan State's position, staying where it was, and Mississippi State jumping three spots to get over them. I'm sorry, I smell Delaney's hand in this one. If State goes to the Cotton Bowl, everybody in the Big Ten gets a bowl game. If they go to the Orange, they don't. To me, this is nothing else than an argument for the 18 playoff being five spots automatically go to the conference champion for each conference. And the Pac-12, if they can't get one, if they can't have a conference championship, give them a waiver so they can do it with 10 teams if they don't have 12. And then you can have your three teams, whoever you want to put in there, because you can't tell me with human beings working this the way of what I've seen that's gone on for the last few weeks with this committee. I'm sure there is some backroom politics involved in how they got to where they were, especially with the people after the top four. I'll take your answers off the air, and thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks a lot, John. And I think John makes a very, very good point. It all goes back to the mighty dollar here. You can't, again, I agree with John. I mean, you can't tell me that in the back of the committee's minds, they aren't thinking about dollar signs when looking at who plays in what bowl, what teams are in what position, and so on and so forth. You know, the final results of this whole thing, talking about the Big Ten and answering John's question about the Big Ten here, this was very favorable for the Big Ten. Not just because Ohio State is playing in the Final Four and can have a chance and a legitimate shot at playing in the national championship game. Not because of just Ohio State. But if you look at it, Michigan State not playing in the Orange Bowl, which is what many people predicted, including us here on the show last week, Michigan State not playing in that Orange Bowl means that the Big Ten can have a team play in the Citrus Bowl. That opened the door up for that. So now that game will be Minnesota versus Missouri. So that opened the door for that, and that means that all 10 bowl eligible big teams have a game to play in now. How about that? Didn't that work out just perfect? You couldn't have written a better Big Ten script than that. And you just, when you look at that, how those stars kind of align, you kind of just sit there and say, okay, the Big Ten can't be that lucky, can they? It's really remarkable. As far as Michigan State, and we'll before we go to the break, Alex, I'll just kind of give a prelude to our next conversation. After the break, we'll discuss the Michigan State's position as they played in the Cotton Bowl. How shocking was that?
Yeah, and I'm glad that John said that, because what he just said about the Big Ten making every bowl game, that has everything to do with Michigan State's bowl. Everything.
Because, you know, if Michigan State, you know, if let's say that they play in the Orange Bowl, that's going to leave one team.
Well,
at least
let's
one
say
team.
That
that's
Mississippi
leave
State
out.
Was ranked ahead of Michigan State at the end of the
right,
year.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that changes things. That throws a wrench into everything, and we're not talking about that same scenario that played out yesterday. Interesting stuff. When we come back, we'll talk about Michigan State in the Cotton Bowl. Just how in the world did that happen? And what opportunity does Michigan State have now to close out the year? We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. If you want to call in, the number to call is 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday. We like to call it a Martis Monday here on Current Sports, where we play music in and out of our breaks from a particular artist, and that artist has to start with the letter M for Monday. That's some Maroon 5, actually, right, Alex? Maroon 5. Gotta love Maroon 5, right? All right, guys. Well, again, hopefully you're having a very good start to your week. It is Monday. Back to the grindstone, folks, to start your work week. Again, as Alex said, I mean, many students around campus are preparing for final exams. Some are even taking final exams as we speak. Hopefully you're not listening to us right now. Well, maybe you are. Maybe you're that dedicated that you're taking your final and listening to current sports.
Yeah, for
sports
your
at the
sports
same time.
History class. We got your cheat codes here. We got your help.
Exactly. We got your back, right?
Tweet us your questions and we'll answer them on
right. There we go. That may be can we do that? That may be a little cheating. They may cheat,
we
help everyone out here on Current Sports. But good luck for all the students out there who are taking finals this week. And again, it's Monday. The holidays, I tell you what, are in full effect. Christmas is right around the corner. This is just a great time of the year, folks. And I tell you what, it's a great time of the year also for Michigan State football, seeing as though they got one incredible bid yesterday when it came to their bowl. Again, everybody had Michigan State playing in the Orange Bowl. It's a funny article. I was reading an article from Joe Rexroad in today's Lansing State Journal. And Joe, you know, he had an interesting story about, you know, because the MSU men's the football team banquet was yesterday. And I believe, you know, at some point during the banquet, they're like in the stairwell, you know, before the banquet started, they're in the stairwell kind of look at, you know, where they're going to be playing in the bowl. And a lot of them, you know, felt as though that, yeah, they were going to the Orange Bowl without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, you know, Michigan State was going to Miami, and that was going to be the outcome. You know, some players had even planned to hang out with a few former Spartans in a Miami area. I'm looking here at the article, actually. MSU junior defensive end Shalik Calhoun had arranged to hang out with former Spartan teammate and Miami native Juan Caesar. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of plans being made. A few media members probably booked their tickets already and flights to Miami. I mean, yeah, everybody was waiting on Miami to flash across that screen and for Orange Bowl and Michigan State to be in the same sentence. But that didn't happen. Did not happen. It was pretty shocking. And the players were totally shocked about it as well. And it was really interesting because this is another interesting aspect to this whole college football discussion. Because I just don't get, and it goes back to this, Alex, I just don't understand how Mississippi State jumped three spots past MSU. And they did. Michigan State and Mississippi State didn't even play this weekend. I don't understand that aspect to it at all. But if you're a fan of the Big Ten and if you are a Michigan State fan, you shouldn't be complaining here because this is a great outcome. The statement, just imagine the statement that if Michigan State beats Baylor, again, this is Baylor we're talking about here, folks. This is a team right out of that college football playoff. They are number five, folks. If Michigan State beats Baylor, the statement that can make for this team and the Big Ten as a whole will be huge. This is a great bid for Michigan State. And, you know, when you look at it, it's interesting because Michigan State is in a position now that when you look at, you talk about the perception, I always say perception is certainly reality. For Michigan State, when you look at how things took place this season for this team, two losses on Michigan State's record, right? One loss to Oregon. Oregon is number two in the nation. Then you have your other loss to Ohio State. Ohio State is number four in the nation. You lost. If you're going to lose, you lose to the best of the best. Michigan State lost to the best of the best, ideally, when you look at the final standings. And now they have a golden opportunity to solidify that they deserve to be among the best of the best in playing a very good Baylor team, a Baylor team that, in terms of a scoring offense, my goodness, I mean, Baylor's number one in total scoring offense and in total offense, period. So you play a team that certainly could also make a strong case that they deserve to be in the playoff. Wow, things just, the stars sort of just aligned for Michigan State, and it went from there. I'm very happy with the bid that Michigan State got now, and, you know, this could have huge implications. Let's just say, you know, by some wild imagination that Michigan State beats Baylor and Ohio State beats Alabama. I mean, what, I tell you what, you know, you better start giving some big, those national critics, especially, you know, I want to call out ESPN real quick because ESPN got bashed a lot for many college football fans across this entire year because they felt as though ESPN has an SEC bias, which I do agree. I think ESPN certainly has an SEC bias. I mean, for goodness, they own the SEC network. Every time you turn on your television, whether it be SportsCenter, First Take, any one of those shows, they're talking about the SEC and how great it is. Yeah, I agree without a doubt that the SEC is the best college football conference in the nation. But there's got to be at some point where you kind of just take a chill pill and say, okay, there are other conferences that are also formidable as well. So, but just imagine that. Just if Michigan State does beat Baylor and Ohio State beats Alabama, the statement and the perception that the Big Ten will have will be one to certainly pay attention to, without a doubt. Alex, I believe we have a caller. Who do we have? Michael from Saginaw. My man, Mike. How you doing, Mike? You are on Current Sports.
Thank you, man. Let me laugh at Michigan. They lost to a trade school, huh? Michigan basketball.
Yes, they did. New
the only
Jersey
Division One that's not a part of a conference, man.
Right,
that's
I can believe. Yeah, the New Jersey Institute of Technology. I had never even heard of that school until Saturday, Mike. Crazy stuff. Crazy.
They could get Lawrence Tech and put them in Division One, man.
I'm telling
but
you.
I want to talk about Michigan State, but you know what? Central Michigan got the bowl game. You know why? They're going to the Nassau Bahamas.
Oh, boy, that's going to be beautiful.
That should be beautiful. I know it ain't football, football area, but that's crazy. But that's something to go to Nassau, Bahamas for a bowl game on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, isn't that gorgeous? I mean, I wish I could trade places with a few of those players, right?
So Michigan State's going to the Cotton Bowl. Is there any history behind them going to a bowl like that besides the Rose Bowl? Because they always, like, they go to bowls like in Florida, like Citrus Bowl or Orange Bowl, some crazy bowl in Florida. What, you got any history on that right quick?
We could definitely look that up. Alex, do you know of any, I think we have to probably Google that, but as far as Michigan State going to Texas to play in the Cotton Bowl, I mean, have they ever, I don't know when their last Cotton Bowl appearance was.
It's only the second Big Ten team ever to make the Cotton Bowl, ever.
Gotcha. So there you have that.
There you go.
So this is relatively new territory for them, and really a golden opportunity for Michigan State here, Mike.
Is it going to be a home game for TCU and Baylor? Who they playing now? TCU, right?
Michigan State?
Yeah, in the bowl.
Yeah, Michigan
game,
State, I mean. We playing Baylor.
Oh, they playing Baylor. So,
yeah.
But it's still going to be a home game because Baylor is in Waco, and, I mean, you can believe all alumni is going to be there. Oh, you know what? Speaking of that, it's the guy who built that stadium. He did donate a lot of money to Michigan State. Danny McLean, is that his name?
I believe
got the baseball stadium.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, McLean. Yeah. Yeah, over at McLean Baseball Stadium. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Yep.
Because they just built a new football facility down there, and they call it the same thing. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, Mark. Maybe one of your callers can pick it up.
Yeah, we'll have to check that too.
I'm just grateful for the tremendous season that Michigan State had. It's just too bad they just couldn't get over the hump on Ohio State. That's the only problem, you know. Did you really think in your mind that Ohio State was going to be one of the top four teams?
Oh,
really?
No, Mike. Uh-huh. I mean, I tell you what, again, the word of the day for me is wow. That's the first thing I said when I saw it flash across the television screen. I had to kind of just take a pause, like, did that really just happen? Because, I mean, you're an avid tuner here to Current Sports, Mike, yeah. And you know I had that huge rant about, I just couldn't see how Ohio State, who lost to Virginia Tech. I keep going back to that game. I couldn't see how they lost to Virginia Tech and still uh-huh. would have an opportunity to make the four-team playoff. I just couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And this is the human element that you get. When you have this selection committee put together, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, the eye test, it holds a lot of weight. It holds more weight than I think body of work, because that's the statement you're making. The statement that this committee is making when putting Ohio State in the playoff is that your overall body of work, which I think when looking at TCU, Baylor, they had tougher schedules.
Yeah.
Had one loss throughout the entire year. When Ohio State also had one loss, but it came to Virginia Tech. And seeing as they had a few struggles and hiccups at the beginning of the year as well, they're saying that their overall body of work doesn't really matter, because right now they are playing out of their minds and they can compete with anybody. And that holds more weight than that. And I think that's why they put him in. I agree with that to a certain degree. But as far as how much weight you put on those criteria, nothing is consistent right now when you put them in.
Okay, let me ask you two more things. I'll let you get to the rest of the show there. I'm going to Draymond Green is really playing out of his mind. And also, did you see this on Yahoo the other day? You see this guy named Jenis. I'm a Tombo. I can't say his name probably.
Right.
But he took two steps from the free throw line and laid up the basket, man. You know, they call him the Greek freak.
The Greek freak.
The Greek freak. He's 6'11", and he's from Greece. And he's so tall and lanky, like, he took two steps, and he laid the ball in from the free throw line, behind the free throw line. You got to really see it on Yahoo, man.
You're talking about, okay, now his Giannis Antetokounmpo, basically.
Yeah.
I think I'm saying his name right. He has a crazy Giannis Antetokounmpo. I have him on my fantasy team, actually. On my NBA fantasy team, actually. Yeah.
You gotta watch that on Yahoo. How he just took two. He's so long. He took two steps from the free throw line, laid the ball up and in. Man, they was debating it, was it travel or was it not travel, man. But I just stood there. I said, wow, man. You know, it was so impressive. You can see guys like Russell Westbrook dunking the ball and all that, but that was really,
right.
That was really something to see, man.
Yeah, he's an impressive, impressive player. And no, I haven't seen that video. I think we're gonna have to find that and put it on our Facebook page, Mike.
do that, man. And like I said, Draymond. Yeah, I watched Golden State play New Orleans on TNT the other night.
Yeah,
Draymond is really. you know, Draymond is really surprising me, not just because I'm from Saginaw and I went to his high school, but you know what? Draymond is really upped his game, man.
No, I agree. Draymond Green, to be able to step in the role that he has this season, be a starter. I mean, his game, I didn't think he'll transition this easily to the NBA. I mean, his grittiness, he plays great defense. He can hit that outside jumper. He's an inside-outside guy. He's a hustle type of a player. He can get out in transition and score. Draymond is becoming a very big factor for arguably the best team in the National Basketball Association in Golden State.
Yes, he did. All right, man. I thought I'd just move your show along, man. But thanks for giving me the time to call, man. If I don't call you anymore this year, Merry Christmas to you, and also a Happy New Year. And you enjoy your Hopefully you'll be going to the Cotton Bowl, man. That'll be something different you can tell us about when you get back.
I'm telling you, that'd be something else. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot. Appreciate your call, my man.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Gotta love that. Mike is, I tell you, never know what you're going to get with Mike. I love his calls. I love Mike's calls, man. He hits on everything, I tell you. All right, folks, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will take a look at the weekend that was in sports. We'll bring to you our weekend winners. Who had the best weekend in sports, folks? And on the contrary, who had the worst weekend in sports? That should be interesting. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. All right. Well, I tell you what, it was certainly a busy weekend. I mean, we could spend 3 hours talking about the college football playoff and MSU and the Cotton Bowl and so on and so forth. But unfortunately, we can't do that. We have 12 minutes left in the show, so let's keep this baby moving and bring to you our weekly Monday segment entitled Weekend Winners. We take a look at what happened in sports this entire weekend and pick and choose who had the best weekend in sports. Who are the winners of this past weekend? Well, let's start it off. Here we go. Time for Weekend Winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, yes, these were the best around. This past weekend, folks, it's time for Weekend Winners. And again, if you want to call in and shout out anybody in sports this past weekend, any team, any athlete, any coach, and so on and so forth, call in 517-355-9527. I'll start this thing off, Alex, and I will be remiss if we ended today's show and did not talk about the Detroit Lions. They won two straight. You know, they had that Thanksgiving win over the Chicago Bears, 34-17, and they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday, the same exact score, 34-17 over the Bucs, as the Lions inch closer to solidifying a spot in the playoffs. Impressive win yesterday against a team that, let's be honest here, it's not that great. Tampa Bay has been laboring pretty much all year. It really blew my mind that yesterday they even still had a shot at legitimately making the playoffs. But again, you got to shout out the Lions defense. I mean, they had, you know, sacks on defense, 6 sacks on defense, 14 quarterback hits, and 2 interceptions. Josh McCown didn't have a chance to breathe. I mean, my goodness. And the Bucs never really threatened. They generated only 233 yards of total offense. And Ndamukong Suh was unbelievable. The man was everywhere. He actually rushed. Yeah, he had a plethora of those sacks yesterday. And just seemed to be involved in every single defensive play. He led the Lions with 6 combined tackles, including a sack, 3 tackles for loss, and 3 QB hits. My goodness, he was unbelievable yesterday. And again, you know, the Lions moving closer now to etching themselves in the playoff picture. Really impressive win by the Lions. I'll start things off with that, Alex.
That's a very good one. And the Lions, there was a lot of criticism the way they've been playing. And albeit, Al, did they play their best football on Sunday? I don't think so. I don't think at all they played their best football. Would you agree?
But I think they had a dominant game, though. I'll tell you that.
The points show. But, I mean, you saw some of the play calling. I mean, there was some turn. Some of the typical issues were still there.
Well, the biggest thing for me with the Lions, they got to cut down on the penalties. And they relatively throughout this entire year, the Lions have been decent when it comes to not getting flagged. But if you look at this, you know, in three games before the Bears, the Lions had been called for 28 penalties. They had trouble with their discipline and incurred a season high 122 penalty yards on 9 penalties. That can happen. But from an overall standpoint, you know, I thought even, you know, I always harp on Stafford and the protection that he gets and the sacks that he takes. Hey, he would, you know, Stafford's line was pretty solid. I mean, they had another great game. Stafford was 26 of 34 for 311 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Calvin Johnson was fantastic. 8 catches on 9 targets, 158 yards and a touchdown for him. Joik Bell was great. I mean, I think this just was an easy win for the Lions where they were pretty dominant to me in many areas.
Yeah, no, they were. And another winner that we haven't really talked about in the headliners or anything, MSU Wrestling, man. They went out to Iowa State and won, I think, like 27-6. They lost to Iowa the next day, but Iowa's one of the best wrestling teams in the nation. But I give props to Michigan State Wrestling. We really haven't talked about them a lot on the year so far. They lose their best heavyweight, Mike McClure, this year. They're relying a lot on John Rizgawa now. So you got to give MSU Wrestling some credit, man. I mean, that was one of their biggest margins that they've won by all year, and I think even compared to last year, too.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. All right, my next one here, I got to shout out this guy because he is. You talk about Draymond Green transitioning his game to the pros.
That's a good one.
On the other end, you know where I'm going with this. Le'Veon Bell has just been fantastic this year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Anytime your name is mentioned in the likes of Chicago Bears, great, Walter Payton, that's saying a lot. That is saying a ton, folks. Le'Veon Bell, you know, he racked up 235 yards from scrimmage and just a 42-21 romping over the Cincinnati Bengals, who are a pretty decent team this year in the NFL. It was his third straight game of 200-plus all-purpose yards for Bell, making him the first back to do so since Walter Payton did it back in 1977. Only 6 men have done it in the history of the NFL. Le'Veon Bell is a beast, and he's showing that he's a premier back in this league, Alex.
But as all great running backs do, and as much as Walter Payton did too, that offensive line at Pittsburgh is one of the league's best.
It's pretty good, without a doubt. But I tell you what, some of those runs that Bell makes, I mean, you're not getting Le'Veon Bell down with that one guy. Yeah, you're not getting him down with one guy. It takes at least 2, maybe 3 guys to get Le'Veon Bell down. I mean, it's remarkable what this kid is doing at such a young age. I mean, this kid, what is his second year in the NFL and he's doing this? That's unbelievable. His ceiling is so high, it's not even funny, man. So, hey, shout out to Le'Veon Bell. That's another one of my weekend winners. Alex?
No, that's about good. The only other weekend winner I have, and you got to give him credit. Although they lost to Providence, the season Michigan State soccer had was pretty tremendous.
Yeah.
And you were at that game, Al. I mean, the crowd lined up past Jenison. That was the biggest crowd all year. You know, you rarely get that much publicity. I mean, Detroit media outlets were there. Michigan State soccer, some of these guys will definitely continue after college. And with Brooks being on the show as much as he has, I'm sure he has a lot to say on it too. And it's been a great year.
Yeah, it has, to say the least, man. And I was out there. Yeah, I covered that game on Saturday. And again, you can catch footage and coverage of that later on today, actually, on WKR.org and also on Current Sports TV. You don't want to miss the highlights and the post-game reaction from that. But yeah, I mean, you know, I thought, you know, first of all, I want to shout out Michigan State as a whole. I mean, the way this community has embraced the game of soccer this entire year has been truly remarkable. I think it's one of the premier stories in sports for Mid-Michigan. Seeing the success that Lansing United had You know, looking at this Michigan State soccer team and how far they've gotten, again, back-to-back Elite Eight appearances, looking at East Lansing High School win a state championship in soccer. Soccer, this community and city has a buzz about soccer that rivals pretty much any other city in this entire state. It's truly remarkable. I thought it was really cool because, again, the community, I'd say, I didn't see an empty seat down at DeMartin Stadium this past weekend on Saturday for that matchup. You know, even though, and Michigan State, I think, got a little too comfortable. They had a one-goal lead. It was 1-0. Early in that game, and then Providence came back and tied things, and then they scored another goal, and Michigan State equalized, and then they just couldn't come back after that. But to call yourself one of the eight best teams in the nation in any sport for that matter, let alone soccer, is truly remarkable. Damon Rensing is building something very special here at Michigan State. I thought it was really cool because I got him on camera after the game was done. Of course, there was a lot of tears. A lot of players just collapsed on their knees, and it just kind of let the moment just kind of overwhelm them that really the season is really over, especially for the seniors. But Damon took some time. He came to the entire student section and expressed his thanks and said, you know, the players right now, they're going through a lot because they were actually on the field still sobbing a little bit, but Damon took some time to say the players right now, you know, they're dealing with a lot of emotion right now, but on behalf of them and this entire program, we want to extend our thank you. And he gave a personal hand clap to all of them. So a very special moment and special year for the Michigan State soccer team. If I could just list one loser here, Alex, when is the bleeding going to stop for the Detroit Pistons? I mean, this is just... I'm hurting bad, man.
Yeah, they're with the Sixers now, and that's pretty bad.
The Sixers are a better team than Detroit. Right. You can say Detroit is the worst team in the league.
When I say with the Sixers,
record-wise.
Yeah, but I also mean, like, overall league embarrassment, man. The Sixers have been thrashed, thrown out to dry. I mean, you should hear the comments made about the Sixers.
It's bad.
By commentators.
Did you watch the Sixers horrible. And Pistons game last week?
Of course I did.
And then the Sixers, I'm sitting there like, okay, I have hit a new low as a Detroit Pistons fan. I mean, I don't think I can get much lower than this.
That might be an overbreak day that we pre-record.
Yeah.
A whole hour dedicated to what's wrong with the Pistons.
You know what? I think that we would lose many listeners that day because nobody wouldn't listen to our show that day. Because who cares at this point? Because the Pistons are that bad, Alex. So let's not do that. But still, the Pistons are bad. How about the Red Wings, though? They get three straight now over the Carolina Hurricanes yesterday on the road. A good win on the road for them. Just a real busy weekend. And, you know, we definitely want to shout out the MSU women's volleyball team, too, because the volleyball team, they finish their season. They go out early to a very good team in Stanford over the weekend.
Yeah,
but you got to shout them out as well.
Best in the land. Best in the land.
Best
man.
In the land.
They'll probably go far.
Yeah, good season for them, too. I just can't believe, man. I'm still thinking about this college football playoff and just how crazy it was this weekend, though. Good, a golden opportunity, though, for the Big Ten to make a solid case that they deserve to be among the best in the nation, though. Interesting stuff, to say the least. Folks, we are out of time, sadly, here on Current Sports. This is the Minute I Hate. But, hey, you can still weigh in on any of the discussion we had today. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there, or you can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, to engage in the discussion. I'll read your tweets and comments on tomorrow's show. As always, we want to give a special thanks to all of you out there for tuning to today's Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic start to your week. And be easy, people.